Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Moore of Copic, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
Did people hear that? No?
No.
Okay. Well, muting doesn't make a difference. Typing does.
Alright, I won't type.
Okay, we're on.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Rail Program, broadcasting live from our own individual plastic bubbles in the Catskill Maker Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill, also known as that weird place right next to the Juice Branch. We are here to answer any science and technology-related questions you may have. Contact us at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com or directly at www.thingularity.tech. That is thingularity.tech. And if we sound a little bit weird tonight, that is because we are all, of course, dealing with the latest issues occurring in the world and self-isolating. So everybody is patched in through several computer systems and being rerouted to your earballs.
Yeah, thank you to Joe's great work. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, thank you.
Joe.
All right, now everybody, please say your name and say hello.
This is Albert, coming from Freehold.
What's going on,
all
Albert?
Right. Hi, Albert.
I'm Cody. I'm in Catskill.
This is Chris. I'm in Caro.
Cool.
This is Brian. I'm coming out to you out of Long Beach, California.
Ooh, California.
The LBC.
The LBC. Zombieland Central.
How's the weather out there for you, Brian?
It's kind of too warm. I'm sweating right now.
Oh wow!
Although That might actually be the coronavirus. Actually, okay. it also might be the virus, because I've been purging something the last couple days.
Oh, well, hopefully it's that, and that way no one will be mad at you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jill.
And everybody out there in Radio Land, hope you can hear us okay, and we're coming through, because this is a whole new and unique setup.
Yeah.
It's never been done before.
So, how is everybody at home?
Well, I am locked up with my kids. We found out a couple days ago that my partner Piper, who is Freehold Art Exchange, everybody check out Freehold Art Exchange. she's a nurse, and
Is there like a website, like freeholdartexchange.com or something?
Yeah, I think you can check out freeholdartexchange.org and FAEX, which is FAEX. You can just search that also. That's their abbreviation.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so she's a nurse, and she found out that she was exposed to a secretary who has tested positive. So I am right now with my kids at home, just holed up. We're kind of self-isolating for a couple weeks just to be safe. And, yeah.
That really sucks. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not horrible. I kind of like the idea that we're, as a society, sort of resetting. I mean,
I don't know about some of you, but I'm in... Get mad at me if you will, but I'm enjoying the break from society.
Oh, I'm definitely enjoying it. It's nothing to be mad about at all. I think it's great, and on some level, you know, for sure.
Well, of anybody, Joe, you deserve to be excited because you work so dang hard all the time.
You need a break.
Maybe not hard, but consistently. Being a repair technician, I'm still out there running around. A lot of people are getting to stay home and getting bored, but I get a break in the monotony because every once in a while, office equipment breaks and you need it fixed, and you can't just call up and fix everything over the phone.
Physical isolation is nice, but being exposed to a harmful biological agent, not so nice.
But aren't we exposed to harmful biological agents all the time, every day, anyway, even before COVID-19 showed up?
Yeah, you have, how many people have died of the flu this year? What, 100,000 on Earth? In America, what is this number?
Isn't it more?
On the planet, you're looking at numbers like... Well, yearly between 200,000 and 600,000. I think this year we were in the...
Somebody's angle grinding?
Yeah, who's...
That would be Brian.
This is the Maker Syndicate. We make stuff all the time.
That's a zombie apocalypse way how somebody is grinding out there. I'll close the door.
Oh, that's okay. Okay.
Are they building a killdozer?
And can we use it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're coming home in?
Well, yes, that's the reason for all this.
Yeah. Here's something interesting. I think about the statistics a little bit. Somebody who's studied math for a living. Yeah. There's, you know, the flu. I looked at the CDC's website, and over the past, say, 5 years, the averages have tended to make flu about 0.1%.
Yeah.
Lethality.
Yep.
Total number, though?
There's about anywhere from 9 to 45 million people in the U.S. I didn't look at the global numbers.
All right, and what is that statistically similar to?
Well, I mean, sheer numbers. Let me. I should have had it written down, but
I can give you.
While you're looking it up, I'll tell you how many people die of cholera every year on Earth: 30 to 120,000. 30,000 people consume feces.
What about heart disease? As Neil deGrasse Tyson would point out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. French fries. Still killing more people.
Jeez.
It's something like 9 to 20,000 people a year die from the flu.
Okay.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. In the U.S. Globally, that would translate to something like, what, the U.S. population is...
330
out of 7 billion, so like 1/20th the world's population.
Well, keep in mind, mortality rates in some other countries are higher, and in a couple other countries are lower.
Right, that's true. But, I mean, if we're just looking at broad averages, what we know about COVID is that it's like roughly a 2% rate, which would be 20 times higher than the flu, but we... What we don't know really is how many people are infected, because we don't have wide-ranging testing the same way we would have with the flu. There just aren't
so
many people.
Yeah, you can't establish a mortality rate.
So it's very... I caution people against being too afraid of that rate, or that number. But I do think it's, you know, it's prudent to be cautious about an entirely new disease that also has a lot of... potential health implications and, you know, put the strain on our medical system. We should be worried about that.
Brian, weren't you monitoring some of the open source and makers projects that were helping with the ventilator shortages?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there happening. Like MIT has one of them. It's actually kind of rated low. It works really well. It's rated low because it's very difficult to build, very complex, and actually, you know, is compliant with some FDA guidelines. One of the issues with ventilators is if a hospital is going to use a home-built ventilator or a scratch-built one, it has to be based on a component that's already certified to use. So they're using the Ambu bags on a lot of designs. Those little soccer ball-shaped things with a mouth thing on it that EMTs use to revive you. They require expert use, but when you put a little bellows on it and computerize it, it becomes a ventilator. So
there is a problem with that, though, isn't there?
Volume. If you don't track the volume and pressure right, you could put too much pressure on somebody's lungs and force them into greater lung distress. So it there's that. That's why people pay $5,000 for portable ventilators and $30,000 for the big ones. Is they're highly vetted and very reliable.
But, sure, but not only that. A lot of times when you want to hook someone up to a ventilator for COVID, they are already in a severe or critical condition. And they're going to need extra oxygen plus the air. And there's no way to do that with those soccer ball things.
A few designs have oxygen, what do they call it? A little regulator on that, but so I think out of University of Florida, some anesthesiologist built an oxygen regulator thing that didn't have the soccer ball. But I don't know if anybody's going to use that. Right now, that's Plan C. Plan B is GE and the auto company is making 50,000 of them in a couple months.
Yes, the industry.
Yeah, but those could be made available.
What's that?
The auto company making the ventilators.
Yeah, they're actually ramping up production really hard. It was took a while to figure out what they were doing, but yeah, they're running forward with that. But that's the thing is what we're looking at is who needs the ventilators are those 4% of the people who eventually go into distress.
Hey, Albert, we're getting a lot of noise from you. Can you mute?
Yep, no problem.
So, yeah, I mean, the ventilators are the last-ditch effort. They're not really addressing what you do before you get into distress in that, you know, second or third week. So people go into hospitals and get kicked out because they're not sick enough. I don't know if anyone's being given enough
then they're going
direction on what to do. Yeah, so, I mean, we were discussing earlier on our own chat feed about the... That idea of what was it?
Hyperthermia.
Hyperthermia therapy.
No, it's sweat. It's, yeah, sweating things out, and yeah, malaria therapy.
Yeah, the Scientologists do that.
Having a fever. What are you, Scientologists? Having a fever.
Sorry, Albert. Please go ahead.
great timing. No, we can talk about Scientologists also. I like that topic. But,
oh, sure, we can do that all night.
Fevers are sort of, that's evolution's way of fighting and killing a disease, because many things don't survive over a certain temperature. So a sauna is a great way to, you know, I'm not recommending medical advice for COVID per se, but it is.
I was going to say, so if I start lowering people into my slow cooker, you know,
or like your auto
back 8 hours, they should be good.
Auto clean to kill probably a lot of viral components.
Dead people aren't sick.
That's morbid.
Wow.
Instant cure. You see, that's part of hilarious therapy. They're tired of dealing with you, so either you're cured or you're dead.
So not only does the higher temperature kind of degrade molecules that are in your body, it also promotes what's called the ubiquitin proteasome pathway, which is kind of like the cleanup crew that comes and cleans up all the crud after your white blood cells are done destroying everything and oxidizing things.
So it's the backup cleaning crew?
Well, they're absolutely necessary. I mean,
purging your leukocytes after.
Never detoxify yourself after getting sick.
Interesting.
Does that help with
immunity or anything? Or is it just a cleanup mechanism?
Yes, it does help with immunity.
How so? If you know.
It greatly increases the amount of you ever hear of a cytokine?
Yes.
Alright, it increases
but that's one thing. Our listeners may not have.
Which attracts,
could you explain what that is?
It basically attracts more of your lymphocytes, which are the white blood cells, to come to a certain area and start killing things that are marked for deletion.
Kind of like garbage cleaning for the programming world. Sometimes there are objects.
Or the regular world.
Or the regular world.
Everybody has a trash.
That's true. You can make analogies to many levels. Sometimes you just have things that are done being used and need to be cleaned up and taken out. And as teenagers, you know, that comes out as acne and stuff like that. All this gross stuff we see on our changing bodies. Mm. Once upon a time, for me anyway.
Speak for yourself. I'm the Greek god.
Or if you eat like a million bowls of ice cream and you suddenly break out for no reason at all.
No reason.
You shouldn't have got so much of that vanilla ice cream.
Hey man, that was finished long ago.
So the jury's still out on the hypothermic therapies because nobody does it anymore. It's out of practice since 1950, ever since
cupping?
Penicillin.
Leeches? Your
penicillin. You give somebody a magic drug, they don't have to do the other thing anymore. So we've been on a magic drug loop since then.
You were mentioning that they used it during the flu. You mean the Spanish flu?
Yeah, but even before that, they were doing it for syphilis, burning syphilis out. People, like Joe was mentioned earlier, they give people malaria to cure syphilis, and then once that fever broke, they give them quinine to tamp down the malaria.
Yeah, because you can handle the malaria easier than the syphilis.
Exactly. No, if you look at the one video I shared earlier, he was comparing an army hospital, their results compared to a sanitarium, and how the sanitarium doing the hypothermic therapy had way more success than what was going on in the army hospital at the time. And I don't know, there's other factors too there. You know, it might be very dirty at the army hospital and different age or a different, you know, field location might have been differently, but there was a great difference in recovery rates when they were able to hit things early with the flu.
Oh, what you're saying is ounce of prevention is worth a pound of risk?
It's not prevention. All these patients actually were sick, but they caught some of them early before they went into heavy-duty lung distress. So they were using the hypothermic therapy to prevent, to lessen that 5% people of dropping into lung distress.
Once you go into lung distress, we're still talking about the syphilis treatment.
No, we're talking about the general treatment, but as they used it with influenza, they were trying to thin out the people going into heavy pneumonia with the hypothermia being used first, going from hot to cold, sauna, hot, freezing. And I think the reason why you do the cycles is if you get too hot, you burn your own brain out. You don't want to do that. So the idea is
once you reach 110 degrees, I believe the brain starts cooking itself.
So you're trying to cook out the virus without cooking out your own brain.
For those interested to know that the video he's talking about is titled Coronavirus Pandemic Update 47, Searching for Immunity Boosters and Possible Lessons from Spanish Flu.
Thank you. Spanish flu, not Spanish fly.
Jeez.
Different reactions there.
Wow. Good job.
Okay.
Yay, Joe.
Just trying to be absolutely clear.
Ah. So this is sort of working.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. I can dig this.
Were you worried?
Of course I'm going to worry. I always worry.
I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to talk at all.
Well, at least we can hear you. We can hear other things that are going on. And, you know, there's just certain benefits to being at home. I mean, is everybody else naked?
I hear bubbles. What is that?
Are you taking the bubble bath or is that hydrotherapy going on?
It's just a reminder that the entire month is 420.
That's true.
Look at the calendar.
It's the pasteurization of milk, right?
It is now 420 on the West Coast, Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, it is!
421.
Which reminds me, a block away from where I'm at right now, there is the most enormous dispensary. Oh my god, it's huge. It's open right now because it's needed. It's an essential business.
There must be so many people in Greene County going nuts, locked in their homes with their families.
Yep.
I know, yeah, that's the...
God forbid.
That's why cannabis was legal in the 1970s and 80s in Alaska, because people would get cabin fever really bad and murder their family. So they said, you guys could just grow your own plants so you don't kill your family.
I feel like Greene County is probably less impacted than a lot of other places because we have what? We have Dunkin' Donuts, we have some gas stations, we have a grocery store, a pizza parlor, and they're all staying open and delivering. And the whole rest of Main Street is depressing, empty storefronts.
Yes, already. The real guys are getting nailed, and all the major big corporations are being significantly helped out in several different ways.
Sure, but even like the liquor store in the on Main Street is open in Cairo, and the Dunkin' Donuts and Hannaford. Well, Hannaford, I guess to Joe's point, Hannaford and Dunkin' Donuts are big corporations. But what's his name, the Frank's Pizza Express, and like the liquor store and like that are not big corporations. Stewart's, Slater's, not Stewart's.
What?
Slater's.
On that point, what about the Chinese restaurants that have been shut down.
I wish I could have some. I want some right now.
I want Chinese food.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're fine. Well,
New Century's closed?
That's
because
they
don't deliver?
No, they are closed. You call them, and you get this eerie ringing. It just keeps ringing.
Nobody answers.
That's not supposed to ever happen when you call a Chinese restaurant. Around here, you call a Chinese restaurant, they pick up and they go, hello, give me your order. You give them the order, and they give you a time. and then they hang up.
That's how it should work. And then you go get it.
You don't always get a time, though. Sometimes they just hang up on you.
That's fine, too. It's usually just 20 minutes.
There's 20 minutes going there.
And, everything is so fried anyway. Like, nothing could live in it. So it's racism reasons and reason, like, supply too, because a lot of stuff comes from New York City.
I don't know. A lot of them get stuff from Cisco. I always see the Cisco truck.
Yeah.
Okay. Cisco. A lot of vegetables come from the city, but like the more Chinese cabbage and stuff, you're not finding it at the grocery store per se.
Yeah, they probably go to the Asian food markets. The
yeah, yeah.
They also have the strictly Asian food trucks that come up.
Which I've heard that the Asian supermarkets up in Albany, they only allow a certain number of people in at a time now.
Yeah.
Which is probably really good.
Yes. And, like, are sterilizing a lot.
Hannaford and Caro has put up plexiglass screens in front of the cashiers. So now there's a barrier blocking the customer from the cashier.
I went to a corner store here in Long Beach in the industrial side, and the guy was completely surrounded by plexiglass. But that's just because, you know, it's ghetto and it's been like that for decades. Dude, you're so ready for the pandemic!
That's not plexiglass, that's Lexan. The guy's bulletproof and ready to go.
Totally surrounded.
I had a feeling you were going in that direction.
Way ahead of the curve.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
Sure, we do.
Let's see what we got.
We got something hopeful to talk about in the biology sector.
Do it up.
CRISPR, the gene editing tool CRISPR, which we discussed on previous shows, go watch them if you missed them, was just used in a bid to restore sight to a blind person. Now, they haven't gotten results yet, but they basically injected biological nanomachines into somebody's retinas. Pretty good stuff.
Splice stem cells or some...
How do they inject it? With a sharp needle?
Yeah, with a needle. So they mixed up they basically husked out an adenovirus, which is a retrovirus, I believe. It's big enough to contain all these things that it needs, all these tools, nanomachines, as I put it. And they have this virus. It enters the retinal cells, opens up the retinal cells' genes, and then inserts the part of a gene that they wrote. Actually, I believe it's actually deleting a gene or part of their genes, which will now reform, hopefully, and make the
Cody, just as I thought for a second. Al, could you please self-move? Thanks. Please continue, Cody.
And it will, hopefully, this deletion, which is facilitated by the retrovirus, will help them make the correct chemicals. The disorder is Leber congenital amaurosis. That's a progressive vision loss disorder.
And do we know if the treatment had any sort of effectiveness? Or was it just something they attempted?
They attempted it. Well, I guess we'll know in a while.
Okay.
That's not something you find out immediately.
I guess we will wait and see what happens.
Oh, and you know what else is funny? The biotech company's name. It's Edit as Medicine.
I'm sorry?
The biotech company's name who facilitated this, it's called Edit as Medicine.
Edit as Medicine.
Like gene editing.
Yeah.
Because that would be the solution to all of our medical problems.
I know. When do we start, like, editing ourselves for the weird things? Improvements, as they would say.
Better night vision, less headaches.
This is how the eugenics war starts.
Yes. Exactly.
But, you know,
cleansing. Beautiful future. Sorry, Al. Please go ahead.
Not having diseases makes sense, but then arbitrarily choosing what is valuable in terms of physical traits, like... I'm great at some sport. I'm very strong. I'm, you know, whatever. Women have big breasts.
Yes.
That's where it
We're
starts
going
getting
to enhance everyone in every way.
That's where it starts getting weird.
I want to see UV light. I want to see in the ultraviolet spectrum.
Exactly. You can see that light from a cat.
Can I get a third hand?
Just
what
like
you use that for a chest enhancement, like in
which arm?
To sit it down whenever he wants.
My maybe third arm.
Just another set on each side.
I like the idea of a third eye that lets me see, like, the future.
How about behind
can we make that? Or behind me, sure.
So you said it's five at one. I want to go back to what Albert said, like, that it's like an arbitrary choice. Well, is evolution an arbitrary choice?
No. It's random occurrence. It's like the opposite of arbitrary.
True, it is. Random is the opposite of arbitrary. Or, you know, it's kind of the same, you know.
But what makes it better? What makes it more valuable?
Because we get the all the traits that we personally select. That is assuming we know what is best.
When has that gone wrong?
Always.
Even assuming that we were perfect at observing nature and saying, well, nature's the best, that's still, who are we to say that even nature is the best?
Have you seen the platypus?
We're still putting something on top of our observations that is, we're adding that. That's not just intrinsically there.
Look, nature, you didn't do well enough, so we're going to take a whack at it now. Okay, just to take the opportunity to let everybody know that you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. And we're going to take a little break here and kick on over to Weird Al.
Look, if you had one shot to sit on your lazy butt and watch all the TV you ever wanted until your brain turned to mush, would you go for it or just let it slip?
Yo.
Remote is ready, eyes wide, palms are sweaty, the Flintstones on the TV already, Wilma and Betty, no virgin, the channel surfing, and I'm HD ready, so I flip. Garbage is all I'm getting. The Simon Cowell, who folks want to disembowel. He opens his mouth, always says something foul. They're dying, wow. Wannabes are crying now. He votes them out. Time to throw in the towel. Shows based on reality. Oh, the humanity. Oh, Aussie's family show. Love profanity. Whoa, the insanity. Oh, dogs at crap and pee. Home of depravity. No, they live happily. Yo, plus the Ally G show and celebrity mole. There's Anna Nicole, she's scaring me. Look, mono cavities. Oh, it's a station break. Better go out to the kitchen and microwave something.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, but I'm still tuning every show. My cable gets C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The Travel Channel, Discovery, and Lifetime.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, cajoled me, turn off those music videos.
I'm gonna watch C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The History Channel, and QVC, and Lifetime.
Aching as I watch NASCAR racing, that show about undertaking. Larry King took 24 to Law and Order. The Weather Channel's boring, like 60 Minutes, Ancient Reporters. Next up on E! True Hollywood Story, the rise and decline of 12 actors named Corey. Shows for next fall, they already been naming. CSI Boise and Touched by an Uncle, both sound pretty lame. And so does everybody tolerates Raymond. And King of Queens jumped the shark the first minute. I can't believe Richard Simmons ain't in it. I move right onto 8 simple rules for dating my teenage daughter. Then I bet I watch The Bachelorette, followed by Welcome Back, Carter, and the Muppet Show, where they go when I'm
mine. You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, but I'm still tuning every show. My cable gets C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The Disney Channel and A&E and Lifetime.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, cajoled me, but I still love Lisa Kudrow.
I'm looking at C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The Playboy Channel and Court TV and Lifetime.
Melrose Place or Lost in Space. I've seen each amazing race and without a trace. But I only watched Will and Grace one time, one day. Wish I hadn't, cause TiVo now thinks I'm gay. Oh, and Fear Factor, I watched maybe a half hour. After that, felt like I needed a long shower. Network execs with naked ambitions. Next week on Fox, watch Lions Eat Christians. Like to tie up those programming planners. Make them watch all of that junk till their heads explode just like scanners. Leech covered grub eating fools on Survivor. Look, there's James Lipton discussing the oeuvre of Mr. Rob Schneider, and there's Gilligan and SpongeBob Plus. There's MacGyver and Jay Leno has got Madonna. Hey, there's Luke Perry on a special all-pig Latin
talking back to Are You Hot? I was planning on recording The Sopranos. I forgot. I love shows with or without a plot. I'll stare till my legs are numb, my eyes bloodshot, because I only have got one brain to rot. I'm going to spend my life watching television a lot.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, they told me, but I still tune in every show. My cable gets C-SPAN and TV Land and HBO, the Sci-Fi Channel and AMC and Lifetime.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, cajoled me, turn off that Oprah Winfrey show.
I got it on C-SPAN, TV Land and HBO, the Learning Channel and MTV and Lifetime.
You're gonna
you can watch anything you want to, man.
All right, and we are back. And we're looking at what's going on in the news. Looks like we're having some trouble with Zoom. And some people are using that for video communication.
There have been proven vulnerabilities in their encryption algorithm, yeah. So people using Zoom are perhaps not as privately communicating as they think they are.
Am I the only person who hasn't heard of this application before, like last week?
I also haven't heard of it.
No, you well before last week, sure. Yeah, you're one of the only ones, other than the people using it.
Yeah, apparently our own radio station uses it for some people to dial in and do their own shows.
Well, that's fine. It's on public radio, so not exactly private, is it?
Yeah, but, you know, like, NASA and SpaceX aren't allowing their employees to use it. So, it just depends on, you know, they have top secret.
Basically, all the encryption keeps getting broken.
Well, so the government's pushing to have back doors put in encryption, so why are people so offended by this if they don't care about that?
Well, they do care, and they actively fight against it. That's why we still don't have any sort of guaranteed governmental back doors to anyone's encryption.
Who is this they? The only people who I've seen really oppose it are people like us.
The EFF. Yeah.
Well, you also have like companies themselves. Like Apple was a huge advocate for personal privacy, hence encryption. And that's for someone that hates Apple.
Unless it's them collecting that data. And they're not such a huge advocate for it. Isn't that what it always is?
Private. You agreed to give it to them.
Yeah, and if a company is actually responsible with it, fine. But that's the kind of, we don't really know who's being actually responsible or who's not really selling that data.
Yeah, what is responsible mean? Like, that's all baked into that agreement, isn't it? Like, oh, well, we can sell your data to people so that they can advertise more specifically for you. Well, who exactly is that going to? They don't really know.
Right, and even worse, it goes to companies like Experian, who have financial data on you that affects your credit rating and how, if you can buy a house or not. And they've been hacked.
People are so outraged by, China has social credit. Well, you know what? We're just doing it silently.
Well, it's not really silent. There's like three major corporations keeping track of it, and not only holding it over your head, they're actively selling it to anybody that's looking for it. Just like the phone companies are doing with your private metadata to the police.
Hooray!
That's depressing.
Okay. Something else is depressing. Personally bothering me, Dark Sky, one of my favorite weather websites, and frankly, one of the sources of information I use for the better weather has been purchased by Apple, and they will be cutting off anyone with an Android app, of course. Screw you. And anybody that accesses the regular website will also be getting cut off in time as well. So, screw me.
Yep. You can purchase it through the iOS App Store.
Will there be an API that we can use, or no?
They're allowing the API to be in use for a little bit of time along with the website. But for however long, we do not know. At some point, they're obviously just going to cut it off.
So it's going to just sit there and rot, if not get just stopped.
Accepting no new signups, and it will continue to function through the end of 2021.
Hmm.
So
that's a long commitment right there.
Yes. They took something that was good and useful, and they've gutted it and used the internal parts for their own devious means, whatever those are.
Probably to ship their new iPhones or their new iOS with a built-in weather app.
Yeah, they want features. I mean, for
the
better
National
or worse.
Weather Service has open APIs and tons of freely available information. I don't understand why they would want this private individual source.
Well, why
maybe
are
all
you
the work
why are
done
using
for
it? That's what, my question. Why aren't you using that then? Is it just
I'm sorry?
To, why weren't you using that for better weather if it is open?
I was. It's one of the sources that I would compare the National Weather Service to. I have several sources to see how they compare to each other.
But you didn't rely on it.
Rely? Yes. Their radar data seemed to really specify where stuff was falling as opposed to where it was just floating overhead. Specifically,
that actually seems rather useful.
Yeah. So when that disappears, I will be more down to the minute, or I'm sorry, down to the hour instead of down to the minute when it comes to rain starting and stopping.
So they had better access to like Doppler data? Is that the deal?
I think they had algorithms that just would run down the likelihood of what areas actually were dropping water. Or
okay.
They had specific Doppler at certain altitudes.
Okay. Interesting.
Indeed, and now it is lost to the great evil that is Apple. Okay, something not depressing. What do we got?
Hey, Japan is sending something into space.
Currently preparing and training for an ISS expedition. Oh, they get to go to the space station.
Yay! Yeah.
When it is determined.
How are they getting up there? Are they going to fly on Gamera?
They're going to be using the Crew Dragon under development by SpaceX.
Oh, that's going to go live.
Yep. Well, carrying live things. But yeah.
So what
it's
is
already
what
done
is
several...
Crew Dragon? What is that?
A capsule?
It's a round and slightly conical looking vessel that's already docked at the ISS a couple times for cargo.
Nice.
I think one of the things that's going to change is the Dragon module up until now has been grappled by the Canada arm and brought in that way. I think in the future it's going to be docking directly to the ISS. Something a little more technical.
With thrusters,
or less technical,
you see,
but harder to
see on TV.
Come again, Cody?
With thrusters. And the magic movement.
Exactly. And if anybody is so inclined, there is a channel that NASA has, and they love showing off their spacecraft docking, undocking, etc. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. Hmm.
In case anybody has got any questions for us, we're still here and listening at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And to anybody else that might be listening outside of our regular time, which is 7 to 8 on the first Thursday of every month, you can still send your questions in at that email address.
Yeah, man.
And we'll just hang on to that question and answer it at the next show.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
And I know you people got some questions because you've just been sitting around, not much better to do.
Well, lots of people are working on stuff.
I hope you're all working on the hard stuff that you've been putting on.
I finally started getting around to making masks. I mean, it's trickier than just getting the fabric because it's like you've got to make it several layers and you've got to wash it, wash the fabric really well. Make sure it's the right kind of fabric and all that stuff. I don't think I could make enough to donate, but I could make enough for the people around me. So
that's good.
And there are plenty of Facebook pages and groups for that sort of thing, so that the materials can be spread around as needed.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to donate, there's, I think it's like Masks for People. It's a Catskill group on Facebook.
Are there any basic skills or materials that are needed?
I'm sorry, what?
Are there any basic skills or materials that are needed?
It just depends on how into it you want to get. Some people want to use pipe cleaners and put in a little, like, nose bridge thing to make it more snug. So, you know, I just went on Joanne's website and used the simplest thing. It's like 9x12-inch rectangle and elastic. And that's just the simplest one. But then you can get fancy and, like, 3D print, like, the ventilator part and use carbon filters and stuff. You want to get fancy.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if anybody out there is listening, go online and there are plenty of resources out there to help out.
And Joanne's is giving away pre-cut supplies too for all this stuff.
Jillian, is this just cotton fabric?
Yeah, it's got to be pure cotton or denim or something like that. Something that doesn't have a lot of holes to breathe through, and then you got to interface that. So you got to use like an interfacing that you hopefully iron on, and that adds more. It's like four layers of something, and it's something that's better than nothing. And they can be donated to stuff like vets, so the vets can donate their better masks to the people who really need them.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
I saw a rundown of like what materials were able to be sterilized, sort of. And cotton was pretty high up there, with like 79% sterilized, or whatever it was.
Yeah, that is cleanable.
And linen was way down. Linen was like 50.
And that's mostly due to the thread density, right?
Well, the thread count on linen, it's much farther apart. You know, these are things I'm just learning about, and I've been sewing for years. But you know, maybe weave in some silver.
That might work. I would just be inclined to just throw it away.
Yeah, disposability is probably more handy.
Yep.
But honestly, at this point in time, some of us don't have that luxury. A lot of people are being forced to sterilize and reuse their masks. So at that point, maybe some silver would be helpful. But just a bunch more masks for the price of the silver.
Can we use, like, UV lights? The sterilizing kind?
For your face?
No, sterilize the mask.
On the mask.
I'm sure that'll work too, but
you have access to a UV type C light.
Well, also the problem with a mask is some of them have pleats, and the folded sections may protect areas from the UV light, allowing certain types of pathogens to grow.
That's what the bleach soak is for.
There you go. That'll do it.
I just had a lot of really great fabric donated to me. So,
actually, I just read that bleach might be less effective than soap on your everyday items anyways, because the surfactants actually break apart the viral capsid, the envelope that the viral DNA is stored in. So, don't go for bleach at the store. Go for detergents. Things that are surfactants that break up fast.
Dawn.
Yes.
Dawn's great. I use it all the time.
Good tip.
A little better tip is if you live in this area and you have well water, your water is probably very hard. It contains lots of calcium. If you add a little washing soda, which is baking soda's big brother, also available in your local grocery store, just take some of the powder, mix it in with the Dawn, shake it up, add a little water. That will help all the water clean a lot better. You can put it in with your laundry or literally anything that you're already clean with, and it'll just take care of the hard water issue.
Washing soda, is that sodium carbonate?
Yes. Baking soda is sodium bicarbonate. This is sodium carbonate. Yeah.
Right.
Which means it's a little harsher.
Yeah, don't put yourself on your hands.
Not for a prolonged amount of time. My hands have the consistency of leather, so maybe you do want to use some rubber glove or something when you apply it.
And not because he's at game.
Oh, no.
Okay, Jill, would you like to get to some of these history facts?
There's one from Texas, Jill.
He had never heard of Ed Gein until I told him about him, like, last week.
Seriously, dude? You never saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Real one.
Well, or Psycho.
Or Psycho, yeah.
Yeah, Psycho's based off him, too. Anyway, sorry. When I can't see you guys, my mind just kind of... goes where it goes.
All right, Rick. Yeah. Well, the show is drawing to a bit of a close, jump onto the history facts.
You want to hear some history facts?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Let's hear some history.
Tell me about April.
Is somebody doing hydrotherapy again for his to prevent?
Bring on the history.
Bubbling water.
1960, the Tiros 1, the first weather observation satellite, was launched from Cape Kennedy and took the first TV picture from space. April 2nd, 1935, Sir Robert Watson Watt was granted...
Watson Watt.
Yeah, right? Was granted a patent for the radar. April 3rd, 1966, the first spacecraft to orbit the moon, the USSR's Luna 10, completed its first orbit in 3 hours. Let's see. In April 3rd, 1973... inventor Martin Cooper made his first portable phone call. The phone was 10 inches in height, 3 inches deep, and 1.5 inches wide, and weighed almost 2 pounds.
Luggable, not portable.
You know, phones are approaching that again, though. I remember they used to be getting smaller, and then, remember Zoolander, right? Didn't he have, like, the tiniest phone ever?
Yes, they reached a critical point.
They're huge again.
I think Brian's got a beat, though. He might have a smaller little phone.
Brian has the biggest phone.
No, but he also has the smallest phone.
I also have the smallest phone.
The little attachment, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Zoolander phone.
Now they got tablets.
My tablet in my car can take a SIM card and be used as a giant phablet.
Yeah, they were always making phablets. Phone tablets, which are ridiculous. Like, how are you going to hold that up to your head?
You're just using a speaker mode.
Here's something comforting. April 6th, 1930. Seeking an inexpensive food product during the Great Depression, Continental Baking Company plant manager James A. Duar created Twinkies. It came from the realization sponge cake baking pans only used during the summer could be used year-round for sponge cakes injected with banana cream, which would be replaced with vanilla due to World War II rationing.
So if it wasn't for World War II, Twinkies would still be banana-based.
It would be banana cream.
Also, leave it to business to figure out how to most efficiently utilize the world's resources.
Great. April 7th, 1795, France adopted the meter as the unit of length and the base of the metric system.
Oh, those dirty French.
You're welcome. April 9th, 1959, NASA announced the first 7 astronauts for Project Mercury. Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Gus Grissom, Wally Shearer, Alan Shepard, and Donald Slayton were selected from 110 applicants. Yeah. Yuri Gagarin. Yeah. Was it April 12th, 1961? Yuri Gagarin became the first man to orbit Earth in Vostok 1. In 1994, on April 12th, using the Perl script, lawyer Lawrence Kander created a software program to unleash the first spam on unsuspecting Usenet message board users.
Of course it was a lawyer. That dirty. Yeah.
And he also smelled of deviled ham. He was using Perl.
I'm glad his name lives through history.
No offense, y'all.
Lawrence Kander. Lawrence! Inventor of spam.
See, April 15th, 1912, Albert Einstein dubbed time as being the fourth dimension. And on April 15th...
Yeah,
I know, right? Well, mind-blowing back then.
What does that even mean?
That means that you can never, ever be anywhere without also being at a time.
A time.
If you ever meet someone, it's never, like, you know, just at the corner of 5th and Main.
You know what's really interesting? 5th
and Main at 4th.
You know what's really interesting about that is actually in relativity, time is measured in meters, just the same as distance. It just has a negative metric in the, you know, like a, what is it called? Pythagorean, you know, the Pythagorean theorem, like a squared plus b squared equals c squared.
You're reaching for the triangle.
Yeah, well, the same thing is true in relativity, but it's a squared plus b squared plus c squared, which is three dimensions, right? And then minus time squared. So it's minus time, actually.
Minus
in the,
time.
Whoa.
In the metric. But time, time is like a really, really, you know, that this whole thing like c E equals mc squared, like these other equations, you know, you'll see about relativity. The metric of time in distance measure is divided by c squared, which is this enormous number. So it's,
yeah, that's the square
it's mostly ignored. It's mostly ignored, but when you go really fast, it becomes relevant.
Well, we're moving pretty slow, and time seems relevant right now. As the show is drawing to a close.
No, it's totally fine. I'm not
tangent there.
No, please. Otherwise, I'll just talk. Yep. On the 18th of 1925, the first Women's World's Fair in the U.S. was officially opened in Chicago, Illinois by Mrs. Calvin Coolidge. For 8 days, it displayed women's progress in 70 industries. This showed the diversification since the 1893 World's Fair were only examples of women's handiwork in the sewing exhibit.
Whoa,
were men allowed?
I mean, you know, they just got the vote like 4 years.
Probably
previous,
not.
6 years, 6 years previous to that. So.
Wow. And look what happens.
That was shortly after women could vote, actually, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, nationally, yes. A lot of states adopted it
before. Yeah, Wyoming or Montana had it for a long time before that, right?
Oh, yeah. Some of it goes back to, like, you know, the 1800s.
Yes, but, yes.
Was it 1918 nationally? Is that the
1919?
1919, okay.
Yeah. Same year as Prohibition.
Fantastic. Active year for politics.
Well, a lot of the women were like, hey, we want guys to stop drinking and making all the decisions.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
Yeah.
Back then.
I suppose we can't blame them.
The noble experiment. Okay, it's 10:57. I want to help you wrap things up with this.
Give us one more.
Give us one more?
Uno más.
All right. On the 20th, in 1862, the first test of pasteurization was completed by Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard. Jars sealed since March 3rd were opened at a meeting of the French Academy of Sciences. They contained dog's blood and urine and had been maintained at elevated temperatures of 30 degrees Celsius. Neither liquid showed observable decay or fermentation. Later on in the month, he also talks about germ theory. So,
is dog blood a delicacy in France? What's and urine?
How do you know that dog blood feces is fermented or not?
How can you tell?
These fluids were prone to fermentation and different types of decay, and once they were pasteurized, they remained unchanged. These are the most obviously rottable, shall we say, fluids that were around. So they would obviously change quickly. And since they didn't change at all over, like, weeks of time, it was reasonable to assume that nothing was going on inside. And hence, canning was developed.
Yeah, not mastered for a while, though.
No, no, really lots of botulism.
Yeah, lots of botulism.